jerk my head to the bookshelf, the mountain of texts strewn about, stacked in the shelves and overflowing. Jumping out of bed, I rush over, picking up a book, any book. Drawings of a cabin line the flyleaf at the beginning of the book, and I flip to the back, my heart about stopping when I see more handwriting. Deep. I always want to be there. I hate it here. I want to be there, in the valley where the river creeps and the wind rushes me, surrounded by the creeks. It smells like deep, tastes like deep. I want the world to be smaller. I hate it here. I barely notice the tears spilling as I pull books from the shelves, frantically searching for more. He doesn't read the books, he's writing in them. After sifting through a few empty ones, I find another with scribbles and markings carved into the paper so deep it's like he sliced the page with his pen. Fuck, he writes. Fuck. And more scribbles, violent and dark as if the page is hemorrhaging ink. When did he write this? What had happened? I open another text. Saw her smile today. I like having a girl around. I read it 5 more times, searching for more on the pages, but there's nothing else. No dates. Is he talking about me or? You only yell at me now, he writes in another. I know it's my fault. I know I can't speak. I can. I just can't. I'm not here. This is all I have and all I am. I can't. I'm not here. I notice the bookmark he'd placed there. I flip it over and see a picture of Jake with the boys. Noah can't be more than 5 as he sits on a dirt bike, his dad behind him. Caleb is around 6, his hair much longer as he stands off to the side, staring off. He's always somewhere else. I dig more books from the shelf, finding one with scratched-out marks over most of the writing, but I can still read it. Mr. Robson asked us what we wanted to be today. I had so many answers. Was Robson a teacher? I want to be outside, he goes on. I want to be in a tree. I want to be wet. I want to be on the forest floor as the rain hits the leaves above. I like that sound. I want to be warm. I want to hold something. I want to talk to my dad. I want to be tired so I can sleep more. And I want to walk. I want to be in love. I want to be safe. I want to be over. I want things in my head to be gone. But then all of that is scribbled over, leaving one simple line. I want to be everything she sees. I stare at the handwriting. She? I shake my head, more to myself. There's no dates on any of these. Nothing is filed in a discernible order. Some things are printed in block letters, others in cursive. Some of the cursive is 3rd grade. Some comes from a man. There's years of musings on these flyleaves, and he hid them here because he knew no one would open these old tattered books. He writes everything he couldn't say. You knew me a long time ago. You know you don't know me now. Trying to teach me signing, like I can't talk. I stay silent because I want you to leave me alone. Signing won't help. I grab another book, separating the ones I already read in a pile. Saw some wolves take down a doe today. I should have shot the fawn. It won't last the winter without her. It's out there fucking starving now. I should have fucking. I'll find it tomorrow and shoot it. Noah doesn't say anything, does he? When I always need the windows down in the car, even in the winter, because it's so hard to breathe. I like Noah. He lets me be. He lets everyone be, and doesn't need to understand everything. He doesn't have questions all the time. He can just let it be. I dry my eyes and wet my dry lips, snatching up another book. No one knows why he needs the windows down in the car. Saw her smile again today. She turned her face toward the sky and closed her eyes. I kind of get it. Like I don't need to fucking talk all the time. She doesn't need to open her eyes to see the peak. She likes it here. I can tell by her smile when she doesn't know anyone sees her. Needles prick my throat, and my vision blurs again. She always exhales when she does that, like she's been holding her breath. That's me. I know he's talking about me. Found candy in the trash and kale on my pizza. She's fucking weird. I laugh through my tears. God, she feels good. She looks like she'd be pudding in your fist. Soft. Too soft. It was so good, though. Those seconds on the car that she let me bury my face in her body. Her skin is like water. I want her smell in my bed, and in my hair, and never far away from me. I envision him up here all those nights alone, scribbling away in the books. All those nights wasted. Maybe he wrote this before he saw me come out of his father's room. We both could have done things so much differently. Slut. Why can't I fucking leave? It's time to go in. I've been here too long. That fucking slut. That stupid slut. Go in. Deeper into the mountains, he means. It's where he runs when everything hurts. Tiernan. Another book reads. But that's it. Just my name. I flip to the back and take a breath, seeing more. There are such deep sleepers. They don't hear you at night. Just me. When I touched your face, you quieted. When I tried to leave, the nightmare started again. So I stayed. I come in every night. You tuck your cold feet between my legs, and I hug you to me, resting my hand on your back and feeling your body calm as it nestles into me. Do I make you feel safe? I like taking care of you. I stare at the text. How did I not know that? How long was he coming in? Even when we fought? I know you're scared of me, and I know it's my fault. Cece trying to slap me in the cave that day because I didn't want her, and instead falling into my shoulder and bloodying her own damn nose, ended up being the least of your worries. I did horrible things to you all on my own. I hate that I never did anything to get you to love me. You'll never love me. I clench my teeth, struggling to see past the tears. You make me shake. My hands shook at the tree with you today, and I don't understand what it is or why it's happening. I just feel it. I never want you to walk too far away from me. The tree. In December, when we cut branches for the decorations, he wrote this after we made love in the barn. You scare me. I scare you. Don't let me hurt you anymore. Why can't I stop wanting to hurt you? Just fuck them, okay? Keep fucking them so I won't want you so damn much. I'm a mess because wanting you feels good, and I don't know what to do when things feel good. Everything is a mess, and I'll make a mess of all of it, but I'm going to miss you. I'll miss you. I exhale what little air I'm holding. He's killing me. All this time I pushed it away, trying to survive and act like I could win. But he's right. It's a mess, and we're a mess. But I always knew that if he walked through the door and said anything to me, or communicated in any way, I'd melt. All I've ever wanted was one glimpse into his head. I stand back, taking in the shelves and the dozens of books still waiting for me. Not once, so far, has he mentioned his mother. He doesn't care. The pages are filled with what he loves. I'm not leaving Jake here alone. I'm not leaving without Caleb and me having it out. I'm not taking Noah without them saying goodbye. I want him home. I don't know how much time I spend looking through more books and rereading parts I loved, but the house is dark and silent when I finally leave his room and come down the stairs. I missed the movie, but it's okay. I'm glad Jake is asleep. I slip into Noah's room, hearing the faint sound of his music, and walk over to his bed, jostling him awake.
What?
He groans and turns over, wiping the sleep from his eyes. I lean down. Let's go get Caleb. Chapter 30. Tiernan. It's 18 degrees, I tell Noah, exhaling inside my jacket to soak up the warmth. I look up at the overcast sky. Those clouds are less than 6,000 feet. We've got to move. Snow swirls in the wind around us, but it's only the beginning. A storm is coming. I slip on my goggles and tighten the hood of my coat, following him through the snow in my boots and waterproof pants as he heads north. After I got him out of bed last night, we loaded up the snowmobiles, packed on our gear, and headed out while the weather was still good. Once the sun rose, the chill was bearable, but now the clouds are rolling in, and I fucking misjudged that the storm wouldn't turn. It did. Jake will be pissed. I left him a note on the table, letting him know we were heading deeper into the woods to the fishing cabin. Of course, there's no guarantee Caleb is there, but it's the likeliest choice. I don't care if Jake follows us. I only refrained from waking him because I knew he'd stop us. Noah pulls to a stop ahead of me, the flakes growing thicker as they whip across our faces. He looks at the map, removing his goggles and wiping his eyes. I thought you knew the way, I tell him, stopping at his side. Just give me a break. He turns the map around and searches the terrain. I've been up here 5 times in my life, all before the age of 12. Caleb and Dad like it up here, not me. Great. I shake my head. Taking the laminated document from him, I scan Jake's sketch. He mapped the area years ago, marking his own landmarks, ponds, streams, caves, things that were recognizable to him. To me, it's Chinese, though. The mountains and trees on the map all look the same as I scan the area around us. I shove it back at Noah, letting out a hard sigh. Don't we have GPS thingies now? Something that taps into a satellite? I curl my toes in my boots, my legs shaking a little. I take a step, sinking knee-deep into the snow as I do a 360 and look around me. The tree boughs sparkle in white, bunches of pine cones hanging from the branches, and I spot a narrow ravine to the left. I pull out my water bottle from my pack, both of us loaded down with everything we could carry when we finally had to abandon the snowmobiles due to the terrain. We've been on foot since 8 this morning, our rifles strapped to our bags. I look up at the clouds again, unable to even locate the sun. It must be around 2 in the afternoon, though. Caleb said it was in the valley, I tell Noah, where the river creeps and the wind rushes. Caleb said? I glance at him, mumbling. I found a journal, of sorts. He stares at me for a moment and then fixes his gaze out on the horizon of the lonely white forest. Valley with a river, he murmurs to himself. Studying the map again, he chews his chapped lip, looking confused. I have no idea, he blurts out. I don't see that here. Did he say anything else? Surrounded by the creeks? I tell him, unsure if I read that correctly in the book. Not a creek, creaks, like the sound. Noah straightens, staring off as the wheels turn in his head. I move in front of him, giving my back to the wind. Fuck, it's cold. What? I ask him. He blinks. It was like a flue, he says, like a chimney flue. The glen was small and closed by rock walls and trees. When the wind would blow in, it would rush through and out, sounding like a chimney flue. He lifts his chin, his shoulders relaxing as he exhales. Thunder cracks overhead, and I glance to the sky, hugging myself. And the snow from the peak would melt and come down in a waterfall that we couldn't see beyond the walls of the glen, but the flow forked into 2 streams. He finally remembers. One feeds where we fish. The other... He meets my eyes. I know where he is. I close my eyes. Thank God. Without another word, he darts to the left, near the ravine, and pulls off his hood, leaving him in his black ski cap to see better. He takes my hand as we stumble and slide down the hill. The sky bellows again, and wind sweeps through the narrow valley, flakes stinging my face as they hit. I pull my warmer up over my mouth and nose, seeing lightning strike across the sky. I whip around, worried.
Shit, Noah exclaims, pulling me faster. Come on!
We trail as fast as we can through the deep snow, but my muscles are burning and my fingers are frozen through my gloves. I fist my hands. The wind rushes, trapped between two mountains, and all I can hear is my pulse in my ears.
How much farther? I shout.
I have no idea,
Noah tells me, pointing to the line of snow between the trees.
We just follow this.
A shot of lightning strikes suddenly, hitting a spruce on the incline above us, and I scream. Noah falls, startled, and I lean over to grab him.
Noah!
I grit my teeth, using every muscle I have to lift him out of the snow. He pulls his hood back up and grabs hold of me, hugging me to keep me warm.
It's only going to get worse, he says. We need to pitch a tent and wait this out.
We're not pitching a tent with metal rods on a mountain in a lightning storm, I tell him, backing away. Let's go.
I lead the way, taking us through the valley and climbing over snow-covered boulders toward Caleb. I hum to myself, squeezing my fists to keep the blood flowing, knowing each step brings us closer to the cabin. I'm worried he's not okay. It's been so long. I'm also worried I'll want to kill him for disappearing like this. How dare he just live up here like nothing matters? I don't care if we fight. I'm actually looking forward to it, just as long as he's there and just as long as he's breathing. Pebbles hit my hood, the tap against the fabric sporadic but hard. I tip my face up, bullets of ice belting my cheeks. I dip my head back down, crouching under the onslaught.
Sleet!
You've got to be fucking kidding me, Noah growls.
He takes my hand and we run, seeing a cave ahead. Racing toward the entrance, we dive inside, out of the wind, snow, and ice, and I pull my hood off and my warmer down, wiping off my face with my gloved hand.
You okay? Noah asks.
Yeah.
My face burns, and I'm afraid to look at it. I can just hear Jake now. Why would you do something so stupid? And he'd be right. This was dumb. I'd probably still do it again, though. Noah shivers, shaking out his coat and blowing into his hands.
I thought you grew up here, I tease.
Shut up. I smile, tenderfoot. I go to take off my pack, but then I look up, feeling snow still falling on my face. Light enters above us, and I look to my right, seeing more light ahead. This isn't a cave, it's a tunnel. Walking toward the exit, I clutch the straps of my pack and step into the open, pulling my hood up again. Snow falls, the wind sweeps through, and I feel the tiny taps of sleet hitting my jacket, but it's calmer than on the other side of the wall. Much calmer. Trees loom over us, clusters of firs and spruces dressed with snow, and I hear the water. Rock walls surrounded the glen, which is about half the size of a football field. The only entrance I see is the one we just came through. The area is shielded by rocks and trees, but the weather still swoops in from above, open to the sky and bringing in the cold snow and wind, albeit not as fierce. Looking up, I see the cabin on the hill.
Oh, thank you, God! Noah cries out behind me.
My heart leaps and I close my eyes, smiling.
Caleb!
Noah shouts. He runs and I race after him, up the small hill and toward the cabin. I let my pack fall off me, and I drag it up onto the small porch. Noah drops his too, our rifles strapped to the packs and both of us kicking our snow-caked boots against the little house.
At least I'm not going to die now, he grumbles, because if I'd gotten you killed, they would have killed me.
I laugh, leaving my pack and throwing open the door.
Caleb,
I call, entering the house. But even before I can get my bearings, my smile falls. He's not here. Liquid heat pumps through my body, and I don't think I breathe.
Jake was right when he said this place wasn't for me. It's one room with a stove, a fireplace, and two beds. There are three windows, no other doors, and no bathroom. It's a place to cook and sleep when they fish, nothing more. The wet air permeates, and I look around, grasping onto anything to give me hope this wasn't all for nothing.
He's not here, Noah says, squeezing past me.
Has he been, though? I ask. He could be out hunting. He walks to the stove, picking up a pot. From here, I can see the remnants of something inside it.
It's frozen. He shakes his head.
He was here, I think. The dishes aren't dusty, so they've been washed recently, but it's been a couple days, at least.
Walking over to the rumpled bed, I lift the sheet to my nose. The cold and the cabin are the only scents I find, though.
Where else would he go? I drop the sheet. Could he be heading back to the house and we missed him?
He wouldn't have left these guns.
Noah pulls out a rifle, and I see others tucked in the corner.
The guns.
You left yourself unprotected. Noah's words come back to me, and I walk over, seeing three rifles standing in the corner, one I know Caleb uses a lot. If he's out, he would have it. Why doesn't he have it? I back away, a sob lodged in my throat. Where the fuck is he?
The dishes, the dirty pot, the guns. He was here. Where did he go and when?
I breathe hard, unable to control where my fears are going as tears fill my eyes.
Noah approaches, taking my shoulders.
Let's take it slow. We don't know anything.
I twist away from him, though, pulling one of the rifles out of the corner and checking to make sure it's loaded. Thunder cracks outside again, and snow pummels the windows.
Let's go, I tell him.
We're not going out in this again.
Noah! I whip around to face him. He wouldn't be out there willingly in this. He could be injured, or...
If you go out there, you're dead, he growls. And then I'm dead, because I'll have to follow you, and I know almost less than you do about surviving up here. I'm putting my foot down. We wait out the storm.
He's right. I know he's right. But is he serious? I can't sit here all night. How can he? I look at the door. What if a wolf or a bear got to him? What if he's cold and dying? A tear spills over as my feet itch to run. What if he died out there months ago, his bones rotting in the snow? I debate making a run for it.
Don't even think about it, Noah bites out as he takes off his coat and starts the fire in the stove. I will tie you up, Tiernan, I swear to God.
And I close my eyes before planting myself at the window for the rest of the night, watching for Caleb. I yawn, my eyelids heavy and my arms like 10-ton weights. I put my hand on the anchor over my waist and realize it's Noah's arm as he spoons me in one of the beds. I blink the sleep away, nestled into his body and still dressed in my jeans, sweater, and wool socks.
Hey,
he says in a sleepy voice. I turn my head. Is it over? The storm?
Yeah,
he tightens his hold on me.
Listen.
I train my ears, hearing the steady drops hit the windows and tin roof, clanking against the wind chime dangling off the front porch. It's a different sound than snow.
Oh my God.
It's raining?
Right?
He jokes. But the wind is gone, as well as the rocks of sleet that hit the small house last night. Rain, not snow, which means it's not as cold.
Will rain make the snow slippery, though? I ask.
Noah rises and lets out a loud yawn.
It probably means we didn't get much snow, actually.
He leaves the bed and pulls on his shirt, and I sit up, tucking my hair behind my ears. How can he only be in his jeans? The fire helped, but it was still cold in here last night. He slips on his jacket and tosses me some granola we packed before grabbing a rod.
Stay in bed, eat, and hydrate, he says. I'll go catch some breakfast and then we'll head out.
I stiffen. We're not going home. He opens the door, looking so tired.
I mean head out to find him, babe.
I relax, relieved. Hey, I call. He turns and looks at me. Be careful. His eyes soften, and he gives me that smile. Then he closes the door and leaves. The river runs behind the house, so he probably won't go far, and I take the opportunity while he's gone to go outside and relieve myself, melt some snow to wash up, and eat and hydrate like I'm told. Putting on an extra pair of socks, I change my sweater and tie my hair up into a ponytail. I actually slept well because Noah kept me warm, but I think he insisted we share a bed because he was afraid I'd bolt in the middle of the night to find Caleb. I'm glad I didn't try. Coming up here with just Noah was stupid enough. Going out alone would be suicide. After washing the dishes we used and checking my boots by the fire to make sure they're dry, I grab my pack to do a supply check. But I see something move outside the window and stop. I look up, squinting. Dropping the pack, I walk over to the door and carefully twist the handle, opening it gently. Calming my breathing, I peer out into the rain, opening the door wider and wider, cringing when the hinges creak, but I don't want to scare it off. I step out onto the porch, water spilling over the roof to the ground, as the buck stands like a statue in front of me. My chest swells. Wow. His antlers stretch like a giant yew over his head, splintering off into smaller branches as his large brown eyes stare at me like he's waiting for something. The rain falls around us, his hooves buried in the snow, and I falter, feeling my gun behind me in the house. Jake would tell me to shoot him. We're here without much food, and who knows if we'll get snowed in tonight or tomorrow. I shouldn't balk at meat where I can get it. He'd be right. I throw my arms out, though, and whisper yell, "Go!" He darts off, past me, and I follow him with my eyes to make sure he gets away before Noah can see him. And then I spot something and freeze, locking eyes on Caleb in the brush as he points his rifle at the whitetail. My mouth falls open. Caleb. I faintly hear the deer's trot disappear as Caleb's rifle stops at me, no longer following the animal as he peers through the scope. He lifts his head, steam billowing into the air from his mouth. I blink to make sure I'm actually seeing him and not some hallucination. He wears a dark gray hoodie, black ski cap, and his jaw is covered with scruff. He stares at me, his arms falling to his sides, and his chest rising and falling in shallow breaths. Absently, I step down the wet steps in my socks as he walks slowly toward me. Hi, I say. He stands there, and I'm not sure what to do. We found him. He's fine, I think. I scan his body, making sure he hasn't lost weight or isn't injured. Where the hell was he all night? I don't even care, though. His beautiful eyes, his cheekbones, his mouth and tanned neck that I know will be warm. Of course, he would have a tan in the winter. I swallow. Noah's downstream, looking for breakfast, I say in a low voice. We were worried about you. He inches forward, and I drop my eyes to his ankles, seeing his jeans are soaked from the knees down. You missed Christmas, I say. Tears lodge in my throat. I'm desperate for him to talk, to want me like he did that night of the fire with Noah and that afternoon in the barn. Most of all, I just want to see him. I chew my lip. Can you come home? I whisper. Just come home. Let's start over and be friends. It'll be nice. You'll be nice. And you don't have to talk. We'll laugh and work and go for walks, and you can show me how to use the bow and arrow and... He rushes me, wrapping his arms around me, and only a whimper escapes before his mouth is on mine. The world spins and euphoria washes over me. He kisses me deep, his tongue dipping in and making my body scream from my head down to my toes. I circle his neck and kiss him back, too fucking high to go slow. Because I'm starving. I love you, Caleb,
I cry quietly.
I love you.
He drops his rifle and carries me into the house, kicking the door closed behind us. We bite and kiss, coming back for more and more, and I pull off his sweatshirt and he kicks off his boots. I throw off my sweater and peel off my socks as he unfastens my jeans, our lips never leaving each other. Let's not be friends. Let's fight and laugh and make babies someday and go insane because I'm fucking in love with you. He pulls away and lifts up my arm, inspecting the small piece of raised skin barely noticeable.
It's okay, I assure him. You stitched me up well.
I was injured the last time he saw me. Just a faint scar remains now. He breathes hard, but his shoulders relax in relief. Taking my head in his hands, he kisses me hard. No tongue, just fierce and strong and possessive. He missed me. We fall on the bed, his hair longer and hanging in his eyes, as we get rid of our clothes and he settles between my thighs, already hot and hard. I hold his head in the crook of my neck, running my hands all over his body. He slips inside me and I wrap my arms tightly around him, afraid to let him go too far from me again. Forehead to forehead, he looks down into my eyes.
There's been no one since you, I whisper.
Maybe he doesn't need to hear it, but I want him to know. He kisses my mouth, my nose, and my cheeks, thrusting his hips between my legs, and I can't let him go. I don't want to ever let him go. Not in April when the snow stops. Not in August when school starts. Not ever. He gazes down at me and I look up into his eyes, smiling and vaguely hearing raps on the door.
Hey, Noah hollers. Open up.
I hug Caleb as he keeps going, my eyes closing as he fills me and hits deep. The bed rocks against the wall, and I moan as Caleb fists my hair.
So you found Caleb, I guess? Noah barks. Come on, it's cold out here.
But I'm coming and I can't stop. I grab Caleb and kiss him hard, barely registering the sound of whatever Noah throws against the door. Chapter 31. Tiernan. I touch his face, tracing the ridge of his nose, down to the dip above his lip, and then over his mouth. His eyes are closed, but I know he's not sleeping as he holds me to him in the bed. Noah sleeps across the room, and I'm not sure what time it is, but I know it's early morning. Rain still taps the roof and windows. I love you. He didn't say it back, though. He may never say it back. Oh, the irony. 6 months ago, I ran from a life of people who wouldn't talk to me and ended up falling for a guy who may never say a word to me. I stare up at him, threading my fingers through his black hair and picturing the little boy who lost all hope that day in that car when he was 4. I drop my eyes to the thin tattoo down the back of his neck, between his ear and his spine. Credence. I'm close enough to read it now. It means belief as to the truth of something. I'm not sure I understand. And then, maybe I do. If he doesn't tell me he loves me, then how do I know he does? What if I'm what he wants until the snow melts and he can have Cece or any one of the girls in town? What if I don't truly understand what's happening here, and I'm more his than he is mine? The truth is, it doesn't matter. I'm going to love him for as long as I can, because that's what makes me happy. Can I stay with you here? I ask him. He opens his eyes, peering down at me. Then he shakes his head, pinching his eyebrows together like that would be the worst idea ever. My pride is bruised until I choose to just believe he doesn't want me living in this hovel with no indoor plumbing. You haven't been lonely? I press. He just trails his fingers down my arm, and after a moment, finally nods. I lie my head on his chest, hearing Noah snore. I remember the feeling of Murai's arms around me when I was sick, I tell Caleb. I was little, but I remember how good it felt to be held.
I tighten my arms around him. And to hold something. It's probably the most peaceful moment in my life that I remember. Until I stepped into the glen, that is. It didn't register at the time because I was so caught up in where I was and seeing the cabin, but it's beautiful here. Hidden, serene, pure. His journal entries make sense now that I see it. I could do with a few more modern conveniences and maybe a few more people to talk to, but I can see why he loves it. He doesn't have to face anything here, and I get it. Sometimes we all need to hide. When the world feels small, nothing can hurt you. I caress his stomach, feeling his abs flex under my hand. You want to stay there because you're protected. For a while, anyway. I stare off, thinking about him and me, and how I hid inside myself all those years because I didn't want to be rejected anymore or hurt. But then you realize you're the only one who fits there in that small world, and being alone feels worse than not feeling safe. Avoiding the bad means you risk avoiding the good, too, and I'd rather be hurt than never not feel this. I inhale his skin. And speaking of safe, I take a deep breath and tilt my head up to look at him, changing the subject. Where the hell were you last night? Holed up in a cave? We were almost electrocuted. He smiles and flips me over, trailing kisses down my stomach. Oh no. I stop him, forcing him to look at me. Now that I have my senses about me, I'm mad at you. We were worried, really worried. Say you're sorry. He gives my tummy a peck, holding my eyes. Again. He inches up and kisses me again, a smile in his dark gaze. I'm still mad. He catches my nipple between his teeth and drags it out slowly. I gasp. You're just trying to shut me up now, I grumble. But really, heat is pooling low in my belly. Just because you like me to guess everything that's going on in your head. He dives down and starts nibbling and teasing between my legs. Okay, yes, I choke out. Now I know what's going through your head. I feel his laugh against my clit before he resumes sucking on it. The sheets are completely off me, and I look over at Noah, passed out on his stomach. Noah is right there, I mouth to Caleb. He stops and cocks an eyebrow at me. Shut up, I tell him. We weren't thinking last night. I'm well aware we've already had sex once with his brother asleep mere feet away, but I shove Caleb off and pull the sheet up over me. He can wait until we're alone. He huffs and crawls back up, lying down and tucking me under his arm. I snuggle in, reveling in his warmth. He grabs something off the counter next to the bed and shoves it at me. I hold up the paperback. What's this? I ask, reading the title. The Sirens of Titan? I look up at him, and he opens the book to where it's dog-eared. He hands it back to me, pointing. You want me to read it? I ask. He nods. I half smile. I guess he does read. And if I'm not letting him do things to my body, then he's still making me entertain him, I guess. I remain under his arm, but flip onto my back and clear my throat. Chapter 10. Jerking the wheel right, I plant my foot on the ground, letting the bike skid to a halt before speeding off again toward the house. I laugh behind my helmet, feeling Caleb right on my ass as the dogs chase him, tails wagging. We've been home for a couple weeks now, Noah and I having no trouble dragging Caleb back down the mountain. I think he knew I wouldn't be comfortable up at the other cabin, and he wasn't about to let me go anywhere he wasn't going to be. Jake plowed and salted the driveway this morning, and when his back was turned, we took the bikes. I race to the house, my stomach doing somersaults at the wind and speed, and I brake, coming to a stop. Looking behind me, I watch as Caleb slides to a halt, the vein in that damn gorgeous neck bulging as his arms flex. I want to go back in the shower. With him and his hands and all the things his eyes and smiles whisper to me when we're alone. I haven't slept in my own bed for a single night since we got back.
You too, I hear Jake bellow.
I jerk my head, straightening as he barrels out of the shop. Shit.
Off, he barks. Now.
I park the bike and climb off, trying to hide my smile. He stalks over to us, looking at the McDougal bikes.
Great, now they're dirty, he growls. I have to clean them again. No, you know what? You're cleaning them.
He points to Caleb and then me, too.
You're both cleaning them.
We were going to, I tell him, taking off my helmet. You want some pancakes or something? He cocks an eyebrow and turns around, ignoring my sudden change in subject. I throw a look at Caleb. He just shakes his head. Jake's moods have spiraled lately, and I'm worried it's my fault. Is he feeling guilty? Is he concerned for me? Is he jealous? I haven't had a chance to talk to him. Caleb and I are always together. Or Caleb makes sure we're always together. Not that I'd choose to have it any other way. I just hope he trusts that I'm well aware of who I'm in love with, and he doesn't need to worry about his father and brother around me. I jog after Jake. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I don't think you are. He heads over to the tool bench and picks up what he needs before turning to another work in progress. He won't look at me. I'm happy, I tell him, because I know that's what he really cares about.
I know.
So what is it then? I stand there, feeling Caleb walk past me to the sink. He washes his hands, but I know he's watching us.
Just don't get pregnant, he finally grits out. You're only 18.
I know, I assure him. I won't.
And you're going to college.
I will. I think. He glares at the bike he's working on, seething.
And tell that woman,
he bites out, closing his eyes like the mere mention of her is going to send him over the edge.
That if she doesn't stop calling every other day just to get in my face and ruin my goddamn peace of mind with all her questions and arrogant little comebacks, that I will burn every cell phone and computer in this house so she can't ever get a hold of you again. And then I'll put up an electric fence in time for the snow to melt so she can't get on the property.
I fold my lips between my teeth, holding my breath, because my laughter is about to burst out. So that's what's wrong. Mirai calls to talk to me, but she calls way more often than is necessary, and if I don't answer, she calls his phone. The best part is, as frustrated as he sounds, he always answers. They fight every time. No one riles him up so much, not even us. I choke down my amusement and nod. I'll tell her. He throws a wrench on the workbench and picks up another. Caleb and I head into the house.
Change that light bulb,
Jake yells after us before we close the door. I let out a laugh, and Caleb smiles, placing a peck on my forehead. He walks to the cabinet and digs out a light bulb, winking at me as he heads for the staircase. The scent of the cinnamon rolls I put in the oven a half hour ago fills the air, and I shut off the timer, with only seconds left, and dig out the baking dish. Shutting off the oven, I set the rolls down on a cooling rack and glance over at Caleb as he hops onto the railing and then climbs onto a rafter to start scaling his way up to the chandelier. One bulb has been out for days. My heart skips a beat, watching him go higher and higher.
Oh, that smells good,
Noah says, entering the kitchen. I spare him a glance, but I can't take my attention off Caleb. Be careful up there, I call out to him. I finally look away and grab a slicing knife out of the block, cutting the rolls. Noah hangs by the island, staring at me.
So the snow's easing up a little, he says.
I add a little milk to the icing I made this morning and stir it, heating it over an open flame. Yeah. It's only late February, though, so winter is far from over. I can't help but wish it was still November and winter was just starting.
Is all your coursework done? He asks.
I turn off the burner and carry the icing over to the dish, dripping it over the rolls.
They're waiving my exams, but I have to write an essay and submit it with a photo journal by April 30th. I see him nod out of the corner of my eye.
I'm going to LA this spring, he says. I've got a meeting with a sponsor, and I want to check out the scene there. Can I stay with you?
Stay with me? And then I remember, as if I'd actually forgotten, that I have a house there. I told them I was leaving in April, didn't I? Yeah, I reply, barely audible. Of course you can stay at the house, as long as you want. I just might not be there. He may as well use the place, though. He's quiet, and I don't have the courage to look at him. I know he's worried, maybe a little angry. He deserves better. He's taken the high road through everything. He's backed off and let me be happy. But that doesn't mean he's stopped caring. Part of me misses talking to him, too. He expects differently of me, and he won't be happy with me if I decide to stay behind. Things have changed, though. Inching in, he lowers his voice as Caleb works far above us.
I would fight anyone who wronged my brother, he says. I do love him, Tiernan, but this life is not for you. You're leaving with me.
My chin trembles because I'm worried that he has a point.
I love you, he whispers, as your cousin, as your friend, whatever. But I'm dragging you out of here because when the novelty of this wears off, you're going to miss the world. He will make you miserable.
I dart my eyes up to him, the icing pouring all over one roll, and I want him to stop. How can he say that? That's his brother. His blue eyes narrow on me.
He needs someone brain dead who doesn't care about dying in this town where nothing changes except the seasons, he tells me. You might not have cared before, but I know there's a whole wide world you wouldn't mind seeing now. He's too volatile, too stubborn, and he will never leave this peak, Tiernan, ever.
I look away, blinking against the stinging at the backs of my eyes.
Damn you, Noah. You want more.
He takes the pot out of my hand and sets it down.
I know you do.
Maybe. Maybe I want to see and experience things and have a career and try to make the world better and leave my mark. Or maybe none of that would be worthwhile without someone to share it with. I look at Noah, always knowing in my head that in many ways he's better for me. He's my head, the part of me that tells me what I already know. What I need to hear. My heart, though, it feels everything I can't live without. I tip my head back, gazing up at Caleb as he stares down at us, having finished the light bulb.
He's your number one, I hear Noah say. He's not supposed to be the one you spend your life with, right?
Chapter 32. Tiernan. 2 months later.
I look down at the toilet paper and see red spotting, my shoulders instantly relaxing as I let out a breath. Thank God. I laugh to myself and quickly finish up, 3 days of worry finally ending. I knew I should have gotten an implant. I've been taking my birth control, but it's not as effective as other methods, and being a teen mom is not where I want to be right now. The press and Chapel Peak would have a heyday if I came off this mountain pregnant. I'm not sure how Caleb would take it either. It's late April, the property's still covered in snow, but the days are warmer, and there are patches of grass. Jake is working on the roads now. The last 2 months since we brought Caleb home have been like a dream. After Noah got on my case that day in February, I put it all out of my mind and decided to enjoy what time we had left here. The seclusion, the peace, and the long nights. I've never slept better or been this happy. My nightmares, or night terrors, having stopped long ago. Caleb and I read, we all watch movies and play cards, and I taught Noah how to waltz in the living room on St. Patrick's Day. I've climbed trees, learned how to make a belt, and taught myself how to update Vanderburg Extreme's website. I've even gotten pretty good on the dirt bikes. We should be able to rejoin the world soon, though, and I've never wanted time to pass so slowly.
Decisions will need to be made, and I haven't wanted this day to come. I head out of the bathroom and up to our room on the third floor, hugging myself in my long-sleeved t-shirt as chills spread down my legs, bare in my sleep shorts. Mirai is coming tonight, and I've been working on making sure the house looks as clean and nice as possible so she doesn't have a reason to pick a fight with Jake. If she's able to make it up here, that is. If he can't get the roads cleared, she'll be holed up in a motel in town and have to wait it out. At least I'm not pregnant, though. And if I were, at least I wouldn't be showing yet. Caleb and I are on each other every day, sometimes more than once, and I've been lucky my birth control hasn't failed. My period being 3 days late gave me a good scare. I stop in front of the long mirror I had moved up from my room and turn sideways, running my hand over my stomach. The fitted white t-shirt is flat and smooth over my tummy, but for a few scary days I thought part of Caleb might be in there. Part of Caleb and me. I lift up my shirt, envision my belly growing with his kid, and trying to ignore the way my body warms at the thought, because I shouldn't want that. It's so cliche. Baby makes three and happily ever after. I'd love to have his child, though. Someday. I'd love to be his forever and see him as a father. I close my eyes, shaking my head at myself, because I know the truth. I only want his kid because I'm not sure I have him. If I got pregnant, I wouldn't have to make any decisions, because my fate would be sealed, and I'd stay. No need to stress. Pounding and thuds suddenly hit the stairs, and Noah and Caleb come rushing through the door, tumbling onto the floor and laughing. I freeze, my shirt still up and my hand still on my stomach. Their laughter dies down, and they lift their heads, looking up at me and taking me in. I quickly pull my shirt down. Caleb climbs to his feet, staring at me and not blinking, and Noah rises, standing there in limbo for a moment before he finally decides to leave. Caleb's eyes drop to my stomach. "I'm not," I tell him. "I was just playing around." He thins his eyes on me, and I still see uncertainty there. "My period was late," I explain. "I got it this morning. I was just thinking about what it would be like. I run a hand through my hair. I'm stupid." I laugh nervously, caught. I was fantasizing, and now he's probably worried I'll sabotage my birth control. But he steps over to me and places a hand on my stomach, staring at his fingers as they splay across my belly. A flutter hits me, and I almost feel dizzy. We lock eyes, and before I know it, he takes my hand and leads me down the stairs. "Caleb," I protest. "What is he doing?" He walks me into the bathroom and opens the medicine cabinet, taking my birth control out. Turning, he looks down into my eyes, so many emotions crossing his face. He opens his mouth, and I hold my breath because it looks like he's going to speak. His breath fans across my lips, and he holds me, kissing my forehead, nose, and mouth. And then he holds my eyes and drops the pills into the trash. "Caleb, no." I dive down and snatch them back out. He tries to pry them from my hand, but I keep hold. I rest my forehead against his mouth, closing my eyes and almost smiling. He wants us to have a baby. He wouldn't be mad or feel trapped at all. He wants me. That's all I wanted to know. "I don't want to leave you ever, but..." I look up at him. "We're too young. We're too much shit we've been through. We're not ready yet." He slowly tugs the pills more and more, and I struggle to keep hold of them. "I love you," I whisper. "We have our whole lives." He kisses me, his mouth moving stronger and deeper as he takes hold of my face with one hand and tries to pry the pills away with another. His tongue swirls like a cyclone down to my toes, and I whimper, my muscles going weak. I lose the pills, and the next second I hear them drop into the trash again. He wraps his arms around me, and I don't realize he's carrying me until he lays me on our bed upstairs. He always gets his way. Damn him. I make a mental note to go dig the pills out again before Jake burns the trash. Caleb and I stare at each other as he takes a bite of chicken and feeds me the other half of the piece. I sit in his lap at the table, trying to hide my smile, but he can't, because he's grinning like we have a secret. Which we do. We're not actually trying to get pregnant, are we? I haven't dug the pills out yet, but leaving him is the last thing I want to do. It seems nice, the idea of building a family with him. He's almost 22. He seems ready for it all. I let out a breath, eating a forkful of scrambled egg and loading up the utensil again, feeding him some. Breakfast is a hodgepodge of leftovers because we climbed back in bed this morning and I didn't have time for anything else. I guess we're technically not making a baby yet. I just started my period and I can't get pregnant for the next several days anyway. I can still go back on my pill.
Well, that's it, Jake says, strolling into the kitchen and whipping off his gloves, tossing them and his keys onto the counter. The roads are open.
A bike speeds off outside, and I guess that's Noah, not wasting any time to go see his friends. I drop my eyes, though, my stomach sinking a little. I'd rather have more winter. I look at Caleb, seeing him watch me, and right now I'm half tempted to drag him into the garage, pack up the snowmobiles, and run to the fishing cabin. The snow up there will last for another month, another blissful month of quiet.
Where's that woman sleeping tonight? Jake asks.
He turns to face us with his coffee in his hand. Oh, that's right. We can't escape to the cabin anyway. Now that the roads are clear, Mirai can stay here at the house tonight. My room. I climb off Caleb and clear our empty plate. Thank you for welcoming her, I tell Jake. He looks down at me, his eyes hooded in aggravation.
I'd rather have a few more months of winter.
And he leaves, disappearing into the shop. Yeah, I agree. Scooping out a hefty serving of Swedish fish, I dump them in the white paper bag and close the container. I have peach rings, cinnamon bears, gourmet jelly beans, and Spencer is boxing up some chocolate-covered almond clusters for me now. I glance out the window, seeing Caleb across the street, loading some lumber into the truck bed. He's going to try his hand at carpentry by making us a headboard, and I'm going to paint it. I wish he hadn't insisted on coming to town with me. After what happened at the bar on my birthday, it's only a matter of time before the police, or the motocross guys, get a whiff of his presence in town. Some giggles go off near me, and I look over the jar of hot tamales to see a couple of young women by the retro candy collection glancing at me and whispering. They round the aisle, their eyes dropping down my clothes, and then they laughed themselves before leaving again. I look down at myself, puzzled. I'm not dressed weird, although I am wearing Noah's muddy old riding boots and my jeans are a little dirty from chores this morning. After Jake cleared the roads, we decided to get dressed, get our individual jobs done, and get to town. Best to rip off the Band-Aid quickly and get used to being in the world again. We met up with Noah for cheeseburgers, stocked up on gas in case another storm comes in, and hit the grocery store, loading up on all the fresh produce. Caleb went to the hardware store, and I detoured for candy. I stare at my clothes. I'm not so out of place. Maybe less manicured than I was in September, but I look down at my nails, seeing the dirt underneath, and the little cuts on my hands from all the labor I've been up to over the winter. Okay, I'm not manicured at all anymore. I catch myself in the mirror on the back of a shelf, seeing the loose threads in my dark blue cable knit sweater that also has a black stain from lying too close to a fire. My hair desperately needs a trim, and I'm tan from being outside, my freckles popping like never before. I haven't worn makeup or straightened my hair in months. Mirai won't recognize me. I laugh and head to the register.
My mom told me to bring home a girl like you someday, someone says.
I look over, setting my bag on the counter as a young guy approaches me.
Spencer weighs my bag, and I study the stranger. He looks vaguely familiar. One of Noah's friends?
You're their cousin, right?
He asks, leaning on the glass candy case.
Noah and Caleb Vanderberg?
I nod, seeing Spencer hand me the candy again.
I'll put it on your tab, he says.
I smile. My tab. Cool. Turning my attention back to the guy, I hold out my hand. Tiernan, hey. He shakes it.
Kenneth.
He stares at my face.
Would you like to get some pizza?
I open my mouth to refuse, but then someone is there, pulling my hand away out of Kenneth's. I look up to see Caleb glaring down at him, the blonde guy standing up straight and drawing in a breath like he knows to back off. Caleb threads his fingers through mine and leads me away from the handsome young man, out the door and across the street. He's just flirting, I tease. Caleb's eyebrow cocks and his lips twist to the side. I know, right? I joke. It's hard work, guarding a beauty like me. He snorts and I smile as we stop at the truck. I got you some candy worms. I dangle the bag in front of him, but he's not the least bit interested. Taking my face in his hands, he steals a kiss instead, and I revel in his smooth chin, jaw, and cheek. I love to kiss him, especially when he's clean-shaven. Come on, we're going to be late, I tell him, reaching for the door handle. He moves to open the door for me, but stops, his eyes rising and looking over my shoulder, the color draining from his face. I follow his gaze. Cece Diggins strolls past us, her step slowing and her eyes locked on Caleb. But my stare falls to her stomach. Her pregnant stomach. My lungs empty. No. I jerk my eyes to Caleb, seeing his jaw flex and his chest rise and fall in shallow breaths. How far along is she? We've been away from town for 6 months. Unless she's carrying twins, she's farther along than that, which would mean, is it Caleb's? I can't swallow. I can't breathe. I look over my shoulder again to see her saunter up to us. Let me guess, she says. You're going through the math in your head right now? She smirks, looking between us. We'll be in touch, she whispers to Caleb. She walks away and I blink, trying to keep the tears away. Please, I hold my stomach because it hurts. Not this. Caleb, I murmur. She was pregnant before the snow. She was pregnant well before the snow. But he says nothing, simply opening the truck door and ushering me inside quickly. He slams the door, rounds the front of the vehicle, and climbs into the driver's side, speeding off toward home. The lumber in the bed bangs against the tailgate, and the groceries spill in the back seat. I hold the handlebar above the door, staring over at him. Did you know she was pregnant? I asked. His knuckles turn white as he grips the steering wheel, and he won't look at me. She's been pregnant a while. Is it yours? Still nothing. Did he know? He seemed surprised, but maybe that's what she was upset about in the cave that day. She was pregnant, and he didn't want her. Anger curdles inside me, and I breathe hard. Did you know? I demand. Did you know last fall? He punches the gas, taking us across the train tracks toward the highway leading home. If it's his, Cece will be in our lives forever. She'll have his first child, not me. I'll never have that. Won't he say anything? Nod or shake his head? Why won't he do anything? I know he can. Just let me out, I choke out, the tears threatening. Stop the truck. He keeps driving. Stop the truck, I yell. Finally, he looks at me, shaking his head. No, I say. No what? Talk. I know you know how. Is the baby yours? Just communicate. Do something. But he keeps his mouth closed, and I've had enough. Sliding over, I punch the brake, stalling the truck, and he swerves the wheel as it comes to a stop. I hop out, seeing him follow.
He stops me at the front of the car, coming in for me, but I back away.
No, I tell him. No kissing, no holding.
Speak, right now. Is it yours? Did you know?
He draws in quick, shallow breaths, staring at me, speechless. If he didn't know, then he could shake his head and I wouldn't hate him. We could go from there.
If he knew. Maybe he kept it quiet because he knew he'd be up on the mountain all winter. And maybe he didn't anticipate we'd fall in love. Maybe he thought he could run from this like he runs from everything.
Just talk to me. His beautiful green gaze falls to the space between us, and there's nothing he wants to say to me. The whir of an engine grows louder, and I know it's Noah on his way home. He pulls up next to us, planting his shoes on the ground.
Hey, what's going on?
I give Caleb 4 more seconds, waiting for him to do or say anything. When he doesn't, I climb on the bike behind Noah and wrap my arms around him.
Let's go. I bury my head in his back.
Hurry.
We speed off, and for the first time, Caleb doesn't pull me back to him.
Chapter 33. Tiernan.
I run up the stairs of the deck, breezing past my uncle and all the commotion in the shop, as I hear the truck tires grind the gravel behind me. I pick up my pace. Noah made good on his threat to put me on the website and scheduled an impromptu photo shoot with the motorcycles. I won't take good pictures today, but at least it keeps me away from Caleb. I wipe the tear from my face.
What's wrong? I hear Jake ask.
I don't know, Noah tells him as I hurry for the front door. She ran away from Caleb.
Tiernan,
my uncle shouts.
Let's just do this, I call out, swinging open the door.
Where's the photographer? An SUV and a Jeep sit parked in the driveway, and I know they're setting up lighting and such in the garage, but I should take a moment to compose myself. I need to get in my room, and lock the goddamn door for a few minutes. Why was he in such a hurry to toss my birth control this morning? He didn't even think about it. He didn't hesitate. It was like a light bulb went on, and the solution to a problem he'd been facing finally occurred to him. I stalk through the living room, but a hand wraps around my arm and pulls me around. I jerk out of Caleb's hold, glaring at him through watery eyes.
Caleb, stop, his father orders, entering the house.
Noah follows.
What happened with you two?
But I just stare at Caleb. This is why you wanted me pregnant, I tell him. You wanted to trap me before I found out about her.
Pregnant, Jake repeats.
He darts his eyes to Caleb.
What did you do?
Caleb's face is flushed, sweat glistens on his neck, and his eyes look pained. He's wrecked. And quiet. Always quiet. Because if he doesn't have to address any problems, then they don't exist. I barely have the strength to breathe. Even now, you won't talk to me, I say quietly. Jake inches in.
Are you pregnant?
No, I shake my head, my sadness turning to anger as I look at Caleb.
Thank God, I spit out.
Caleb steps in, hovering over me with an edge to his expression. He's mad now. Noah pulls him back.
Caleb, back off her.
Jake presses a hand into his chest. But Caleb throws them off, growling, and I back up, tears welling again as he swoops in and picks me up, holds my face and forces his mouth on mine. I choke down a sob, the assault of his scent reminding me how happy we were just this morning, before we came back to the world. I push him away, crying out as Noah and Jake pull him off me. I breathe hard, falling to my feet and backing up, farther away from him.
Cece Diggins is pregnant, I tell Jake and Noah. Very pregnant.
Caleb doesn't look at anyone but me, but I see Jake and Noah staring at me, stunned.
It could be anybody's, Noah argues.
Yours?
No,
he retorts like I'm crazy.
God, no, I didn't sleep with her.
Did she say it was Caleb's?
Jake straightens, releasing his son. She didn't have to, I tell him, but I lock eyes with Caleb. If it's his, I might learn to live with it, even though that means living with her in our lives. If he knew about it all along, though. Say something, I tell him. Say something to me. Anything, please. Or write something then, I ask. Tell me anything. Tell me you love me. He just stands there, though. And I stop crying, my heart broken, but not. Maybe it's just not there anymore, because I draw in a deep breath, knowing someone will have his kids, but it will never be me. I can't live in another house where someone I love won't talk to me. We're all set, I hear a woman say from the kitchen. It only takes a moment, but I blink away the tears and follow her into the shop, desperate to get away.
Let's get you ready, she chirps.
I nod, pushing Caleb and Cece out of my mind. They change me into a pair of short jean shorts and a black off-the-shoulder top that shows my belly. I sit down to have my hair styled and my makeup done, Noah having accounted for everything when bringing people up here, I guess. I feel like I'm on one of my parents' movie sets.
Not too much, the blue-haired photographer tells the makeup artist. I want natural. I want her to look like someone the average guy can get into bed with.
Someone clears their throat behind us. Kidding, the lady quickly replies, and I guess Jake is standing behind me. Then to the artist again, she says,
You catch my drift, though, right? Pretty, not porno.
The man with short cropped blonde hair and tattoos on his fingers nods, blending concealer under my eyes, probably to get rid of the splotchiness from my crying. The stylist fluffs my waves, sprays my hair, and I open my mouth, stretching my face, because I haven't worn makeup in so long, it's like cake on my face. Noah pulls up a stool and plops down, waggling his eyebrows at me as the stylist moves to his head next. Keep Caleb away from me, I tell him in a low voice, but it's more a beg.
Sure, he sighs. I was in the mood to bleed today.
I give him a sad smile. We finish readying and I move, as if on autopilot. Mirai is flying in tonight, and whether or not she'll recognize me is irrelevant. She'll know things happened here, and I won't blame her for not understanding. I don't think I do myself anymore. I'm hurt, but at least I'm leaving stronger than when I came.
Noah?
The photographer named Juno calls. I straddled the dirt bike, spotting Caleb's black t-shirt off to my left by the shop doors, but I don't dare look. Noah climbs on the bike behind me, jeans and bare chest, because we're supposed to look sexy, as if this image is supposed to have any basis in reality. Motocross racers will probably laugh and pick apart our lack of proper attire and equipment, but sex sells, I'm told. So here we go. He fits behind me, placing his hands on my hips. Caleb shifts off to my left, and I think Jake steps in, stopping him. I lean back into Noah, the air hitting my bare stomach as I arch my back a little.
Not too close, someone tells Juno. She's his cousin.
Noah snorts, his chest shaking against my back. I clench my teeth. It's not funny.
It's hilarious.
I roll my eyes. I guess I should laugh too, or I'll cry. The cousins in this house are so much closer than they realize. My hips are the least of what Noah has touched. Before I can stop myself, my gaze flashes to Caleb. He leans against the doorframe, his arms crossed over his chest, and his expression more pained than I've seen it. He stares at us, at me, like something he's already lost, and he hasn't the slightest clue how to get back what he wants most in the world. All he has to do is talk. Find a way to communicate. I let my eyes fall as I cock my head to the side and turn it for a candid shot, because I can't look at the camera in case I've ruined my mascara.
I love that, Tiernan, Juno coos. You look amazing, honey.
I rest my hands on my thighs, lifting my chin a little. I guess the point of this is to feature the young faces of Vanderburg Extreme, and Noah knew this wasn't Caleb's thing.
I'm glad it's Noah behind me, though. He's who I'm safe with.
Look at him now, Juno tells me. My throat tightens, and I'm overwhelmed. I take some deep breaths, trying to get my head back in the game.
Look at me, Tiernan, Noah whispers. Slowly, I look up, meeting his eyes over my shoulder. The photographer snaps some shots.
We're not letting you go, he murmurs to me, so no one else can hear. This is family.
I can't help but smile. For better or worse, I'm not escaping them, am I? This is family. They won't run from me, and no matter what happens with Caleb and me, I love Jake and Noah too. They lend credence every day to what happened to me and to my need to be in this. They validated me when I had nothing. Jake was holding on to his past and punishing himself, just like me. Noah had no one to talk to, just like me. Caleb struggles to connect because of his pain of being forgotten by someone who should have loved him enough never to forget, just like me. They lend truth to the fact that I was lost, and it was okay to be hurt. We found each other, and no matter what anyone would say about what happened up here this winter, I'm the only one who needs to understand.
Lean into him, Tiernan, Juno instructs. I do as she says and lean into Noah, looking up at him, a small grin I can't help but feel spreading across my lips. He winks at me.
That's good. A few more snaps go off. Now, Noah, look off to the side and down. He hesitates, but finally he looks away, looking like Caleb as he stares off like the tortured hero.
Oh, that's great. You both look great.
I slide off the bike and climb on behind him now, spreading my knees and placing my hands on his waist.
Looking good, Juno says, moving around us to take more shots.
I hear someone giggle and look up to see a few more people have arrived, racers and their girlfriends whom I vaguely remember hanging around the shop last fall. One girl stands next to Caleb and stares at him, looking nervous but smitten. I gulp. At least he's not paying her any mind.
Now, Noah, off the bike, Juno says. Tiernan, I want you to lean forward and grab the handlebars. Noah, do the same thing from the other side. Straddle the front wheel and challenge each other, kind of like siblings.
Noah laughs again, but follows orders. I scoot up in the seat, both feet on the ground, while Noah plants both legs on either side of the front wheel and leans into me, holding the handles.
Tiernan, can you arch your back? She asks.
I do, jutting out my butt a little more as the muscles in my thighs flex.
More, honey.
I sigh, trying to lean forward more and stick out my ass. But Noah urges me further.
More, he whispers, like you've got a man behind you.
I arch an eyebrow. Leave it to him to make some sexual joke right now. I dart my gaze to Caleb, seeing his eyes crinkled at the edges as he watches us. The girl has moved away a step, but she's still swooning. No short supply of women to take his mind off me once I'm gone, I guess.
You ready to go to LA?
I ask Noah as Juno takes our picture.
I've been ready. You? He challenges. You ready to get the fuck out of this dump?
I want to shoot him a look, but I don't want to lose the shot.
I don't want him to be angry with you, I tell Noah, referring to Caleb. If I leave with Noah, Caleb will assume the wrong thing.
If he wants to follow us and bring you back, then maybe that's what he needs to do, Noah retorts. If not, I get you to myself. Win-win.
I fluff my hair and adjust my stance. You don't want me. You want to race.
I'd love my family with me, though.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm not letting you go, I tell him. He smiles, but then he stops, remembering himself. He glances off toward Caleb and then back to me.
He's 5 seconds from rearranging my face.
I could care less if Caleb is angry.
Ugh, doesn't that just take the cake?
Someone says, somewhere by the doors.
I love women in that position. All she's got to do is hold it like that.
Someone chuckles, but I don't know who,
I ignore them.
She's carrying herself a little hotter than last fall, the same guy says. Wonder what changed.
I don't know, but I'm wishing I was locked up here with her all season,
the other man adds. There's a shuffle, a gasp, and then all hell breaks loose as a table topples over and shouting ensues.
Caleb, Jake shouts.
I shoot up, watching as Caleb throws one of the racers down on the floor of the shop and Jake rushes in to haul his son back. Juno and the stylists rear back, out of the way, and the girls who came with the guys stumble out into the driveway. I climb off the bike, seeing Noah rush over and keep Caleb back as his dad picks up the guy off the ground.
Motherfucker!
The guy growls at Caleb, but Jake pushes him and his friend out of the shop.
Hit the road,
he tells them.
Closed chute, you little shits.
Those must have been the jerks making remarks. Caleb goes after him again, but Jake is quick to catch him.
Stop, he yells. Stop it right now.
He points in his son's face, but Caleb is seething. The racers take their girls, climb on their bikes, and speed off, everyone in the shop standing around, shaken. Finally, Jake just waves them off.
All right, that's enough, he bites out. We've got what we need.
Juno nods and turns off her camera, everyone hurrying to close up shop and gather their equipment. Caleb stalks toward me, but Jake grabs him again.
No, he says. Get in the truck, now.
He glares at Caleb, pushing him out of the shop. Caleb stumbles back, staring at me.
Now,
Jake fires at him again. I can see the vein in Caleb's neck bulging from here, and he hesitates, but he leaves, heading into the driveway.
You too, Jake orders Noah.
Noah grabs his t-shirt and follows his brother out to the truck. Jake charges over to me. He stops close, keeping his voice down as much as he's capable, since there's still people around.
I'm going to go deal with the sheriff, and I'm taking them to the fucking bar to sort some shit out.
A bar, I grit out. And I have to stay here?
Yes.
He glowers at me.
Don't leave the house or you'll be sorry.
What did I do? I fire back. I don't want to be stuck here all night while you're all out shopping for tail.
You'll stay here because Caleb's not going to leave you alone if I don't get him away from you.
He barks, not caring who hears us now.
You haven't been separated from him for more than 2 months. And everyone needs a few hours of space. I'm doing this for you. Take a shower, calm down.
I shake my head. He thinks a shower is going to solve this? I have every right to be upset. I won't calm down. He pauses, relaxing his shoulders and checking himself.
I need to talk to him, Tiernan, he says, softening his tone. I need to make sure there isn't a warrant out for him, and we need to talk to the Diggins girl. You need to stay here. We'll be back later.
And I watch as he leaves, fishing his keys out of his pocket. I stand there, even after the photographer and stylists have left, and I'm all alone in the house, knowing that Caleb and I only have one problem, and the only thing that will solve it wasn't on Jake's agenda tonight. It's something his father can't take care of for him. It has to come from Caleb.
See you soon. I stare at the text from Mirai that came in 4 hours ago as she was boarding a plane at LAX. She can't come here. Caleb has no restraint. He won't care about appearances. He'll scare her, and she'll try to drag me out of here. Standing by my bed, I look down at my half-filled suitcase that I started packing when the text came in. At first, I threw in a few clothes to stay with her at the motel in town, just to keep her away from here. Then, I started packing more than I needed, and I wasn't sure why. Maybe Jake was right to take them out tonight so we could all have space. Maybe space is exactly what everyone needs right now. I could go home for a bit. There's texting, email, FaceTime. I'll stay in touch. I could say I'm taking Noah to get him settled at my house while